apart from science, theologically speaking, is it, with the doctrine of creation, using the word doctrine, is it permissible for a Catholic to not believe that the world had a beginning?
Certainly is, yes. That would simply put you in line with people like Keith Ward, who hold that as long as you understand it, to use Dr. Barr's example this morning of the lamp eternally shining on the piece of paper, yes, indeed, you could. And I don't think that could ever be absolutely adjudicated one way or the other. Yes.
Mm-hmm. It seems, if you look in, my impression is that if you look in older manuals of theology, the idea that the world had a temporal beginning, not merely that it was created, is referred to as de fide. And now, I don't know if it appears in one of the canons of these councils, but certainly, as I mentioned in my talk, the Fourth Lateran Council and the First Vatican Council refer to God creating the universe ab initio temporis, from the beginning of time. Could one not argue that in whatever the ambiguities of Genesis 1:1, that in the church's developing understanding of creation, that the idea of a temporal beginning as being a revealed truth gradually emerged and became what it appears to me to be, anyway, an infallible teaching of the ordinary magisterium of the church?
I personally doubt that, but I from all you've said, that could certainly be argued. The main principle I would normally follow in interpreting any conciliar document is to try to understand what it was being objected to and what was being fought against at that particular time. And I think as long as one holds that one considers God as genuinely creator and that everything else is dependent on God's love and care and continuing maintenance of the universe, I simply doubt that you could make a clinching claim that it is de fide that there is a temporal beginning. But that is arguable, I think. And you would certainly have ammunition if you wanted to make that position.
Father Wiseman, what role, if any, has the passage from 2 Maccabees 7:28, I believe, that look upon the heavens and the earth and all that they contain and see that God made them out of things that did not exist or that were not? What role has that passage from Scripture played in the development of the church's doctrine on creation, if any?
In all honesty and frankness, I would have to look a little bit more into the history of the doctrine to be able to say to what extent 2 Maccabees was important there. I would, from all that you just said and quoted, I would expect it was significant, but in all honesty, I'm not sure.
I guess a point of clarification. We have to be very careful nowadays when we talk about terms like empty space, vacuum, and nothingness. They mean very different things now than they did even 100 years ago. Nothingness is a purely mathematical concept that is equivalent to what's called the empty set. You interpret that physically in terms of no dimension, no color, no mass, no fields. Everything that you know that's a physical quantity, even remotely, would be negated. That would be nothingness. The physical vacuum that we talk about in physics is, colloquially empty, but it's a very dynamic thing in terms of quantum mechanical processes that are going on, virtual particle creation, things like that. And finally, empty space is an even more colloquial concept. If you go up and orbit the Earth and take out all the atoms out of the box, you got empty space. But empty space is a quantum vacuum which has a lot of things going on in there. You just can't directly sort of perceive them. And what these, cosmogeniton ex nihilo kind of concepts are about these days, it is not the creation of the universe out of nothing. It's the creation of the universe out of a quantum vacuum. which is a very different kind of thing. So I just want to...
Reverend, you mentioned earlier in your speech that God, it is within God that we move and we live and we have our being, and that it wasn't just one act of creation that he is actively creating and sustaining the cosmos. And I hope I don't open a can of worms here. If there are, I'll help put them back in. That would also seem to indicate that the violent destruction and formation of things within the cosmos and the suffering that biological life undergoes through its evolutionary process is also sustained by God. How do you work theodicy into your paradigm?
If we did, if we held, as Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, that we're here for this life only, I think there would be no possible way of giving a satisfactory answer to the kinds of theodicy questions that you've just raised. But if we're not here for this life only, but that if in some sense everything that has ever existed, every being that has ever existed, is in some way ultimately to be taken up into the eternal life of God, then that doesn't deny or ignore the profundity and the reality of genuine suffering and pain in this world, but it certainly says that's not the last word. And I think it is that alone that I believe, though I'm not at all a literary critic, that makes some specialists of literature say that there can be no such thing as a Christian tragedy, because the last word is never going to be tragic for us.